On today's show, NBA Draft Talk with Locked On NBA Draft expert Rafael Barlow. Paolo Banchero versus Jabari Smith Jr. Who would you take with the number one overall pick if you were the Houston Rockets? We're going to see Rafael try to convince me and sway me out of the Jabari jungle. We're going to get into the pros and cons of both of those guys. Which guy has more future star potential and more coming up right here at Locked On Rockets.
This is Mission Control, Houston.
Ignition sequence start.
With the second pick in the 2021 NBA Draft, the Houston Rockets select Jalen Green.
T-minus 15 seconds. Guidance is internal.
I'm going to keep working. I'm going to keep getting better every day. I'm going to keep perfecting my craft. And every time I step on that floor, I'm coming.
6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
What's up and welcome to another edition of Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. As always, I'm your host, Jackson Gatlin, native Houstonian, also host of Locked On NBA Mondays, co-host of the State of the Rockets podcast, as well as the founder of ClutchCityControlRoom.com. Be sure to follow along on Twitter at JT Gatlin and the show, of course, at Locked On Rockets. As always, appreciate you for making Locked On Rockets your first listen each and every day. Joining us now is Locked On in-house draft expert Rafael Barlow. Great friend of the show, Rafael. It's so great to have you back on the program. You're a busy guy. You're hard to kind of track down, but I'm glad I got you back on the show because we've got so much to talk about leading into this year's NBA draft. The Rockets find themselves with the worst record in the NBA for the second season in a row, which means they can do no worse than a top five pick, which is as good a place to start as any with this discussion. Now that we got you back on the program, is we got to let you lead off with your top five big board, you know, going into this year's NBA draft.
Yeah. So number one, I have Paolo Banchero, and I have been mocking him to Houston since the end of the season. At number two, I have Jabari Smith. At number three, I have Jaden Ivey. And at number four, I have Paolo Banchero. And at number five, I mean, just depending on the day of the week, I may go between Keegan Murray and AJ Griffin. But as of today, I'm going to go with Keegan Murray as my fifth.
Okay, so just kind of flavor of the day, you know, depending on how you're feeling on a given afternoon. That fifth spot has been cycling for me a lot as well, right? I go between Benedict Mathurin, AJ Griffin, Keegan Murray. I mean, obviously, we got the whole situation revolving around Shaedon Sharpe, like what's going on there. So there's a lot to try and figure out, but
I see you've done your homework. Okay.
Hey, I you know what? You know what, man? Last season was my first season like navigating the draft and having to worry about it. And so this year I've done a bit more homework going in. So hopefully I can, I definitely can't go toe to toe with you, but what I want the general theme of today to be is the fact that I've actually been lower on Paolo Banchero of the kind of consensus top four guys. I've mocked him continuously, like at that four spot, even, you know, behind Jaden Ivey, behind Chet, and Jabari is currently still number one on my board. And so let's kind of start there. And if you're going into this, and if we're going into today's show, and if you're going under the premise of you're not just trying to convince me, you're trying to convince other Rockets fans who maybe have Jabari at number one on their board, how are you going to sell Paolo Banchero over Jabari Smith and some of these other guys? And that's probably a good starting point for us.
All right, if you need a bucket. If you need a bucket, who's going
to give the ball to Jalen Green?
All right. So if you need a secondary guy that can create his own shot, who are you giving the ball to? And that's why I'm higher on Paolo, because I feel like with Jabari, I don't think you can just give him the ball and say, go get me a bucket. You have to like run a play for him. And I like the fact that Paolo is I think he's the best shot creator of the guys, of the bigs, between Holmgren and Jabari, and he's the best passer as far as like a playmaker. And so I don't think we have fully been able to see him showcase his passing skills. And I mean, he can play some point forward. And I like to compare him to 2018-19 Blake Griffin. So that was the year Blake was with the Pistons. He averaged like 24-10-5. And the reason I say that Blake Griffin, because Paolo is not the athlete Blake was in Clipperland. And that was the last year that Blake was healthy. So I know when people think Blake Griffin Pistons, you just think of, you know, it's kind of like thinking of LaMarcus Aldridge in the Nets. but no, he was actually healthy that year. I think he was all NBA, and he was like this this point forward that could post up. You could initiate the offense through him in the post. He could create for others. Shot the ball well. And just was like an offensive force that you could not double team in the post because he can make you pay with his passing. And then I think Paolo is someone that is going to be a really good passer. We didn't get a chance to see that at Duke. They kind of just ran him as like this isolation scorer, post scorer. But I think that in order to be a really effective scorer in today's NBA, you have to be a good passer. So I think his passing will unlock his scoring, and I think he'll do better with NBA spacing.
You know, I guess I have done my homework because I've continuously comped Paolo Banchero to the version of Blake Griffin that started to add more to his playmaking bag, right? Like, you know, you kind of saw what he could do, you know, in a one-on-one, like scoring, like isolation, you know, environment. He was explosive, all of that. But then it was that season where Chris Paul went down and Griffin had to add the playmaking, the handle to his bag, the three-point shooting range. Like, he just diversified his entire game. And so that version of Blake Griffin has been like, if that's Paolo Banchero's floor, like, that's an incredible floor. Like, yeah. if that's what we're looking at, that's clearly like a tier one prospect, and you're going to be very, very excited about that. But that said, I feel like, and maybe correct me if I'm wrong here, but I feel like Jabari Smith gets such a bad rap on like his inability to create for himself. And I maybe it's a bit overblown at this point, in my opinion, as far as like his inability to get his own shot off.
Well, one thing before I get to that, I think Blake always had it, but playing next to CP3, Chris Paul is not a guy who you take the ball out of his hands because he's such a good decision maker, doesn't turn the ball over. So I think Blake really got a chance to showcase his talent and his versatility once Chris Paul went down. So, and I mean, in a way, it's kind of similar in a sense because I think the way Duke's offense was ran, and of course they don't have the same spacing, he didn't get a chance to, Paolo, that is, didn't get a chance to show like the ball handling and the passing. But when I watched like his high school film, where, I mean, he was clearly the best player on the court because he had an advantage because he was bigger, stronger, and faster. But he did show like the ability to make skip passes and different reads. So I like him as like this secondary playmaker, big point guard, and I like the versatility. Now, as far as Jabari, of course, we're talking about right now. I do think that he can develop, but he's a guy that, I mean, he's not going to dribble more than twice in the half court. So, I mean, he does have it in him to like get a rebound and kind of go coast to coast. I mean, he's not as good as Chet, but I mean, I think he has a one or two dribble limit. And even though he had a couple games, I think he had like three assists or four assists in both of his tournament games. I think he's someone that, how can I say this? So, all right, Rasheed Wallace is like one of my all-time favorite players, right? Rasheed was a guy who, if you remember when he was in Portland, he could score on the block with the best of them. But then he fell in love with the three ball, and then that's all he did was shoot threes. He was a great defender, never like fully maximized all of his God-given talent. So I'm not saying that is Jabari, but I can see Jabari as this guy that if he averages 14 shots a game, he may take eight threes. And if he's taking eight threes, that means someone is creating nearly the majority of those looks. And so he can't work on his ball handling, but I think in order for Jabari to like maximize his skill set, he's going to have to be at least 50-50 inside, outside. If he ends up just shooting majority threes, then, you know, like he's not maximizing his gifts.
Coming up, we're going to keep this conversation focused on the top prospects. What makes these guys special? Rafael is going to keep trying to sell me on Paolo Banchero over Jabari Smith after a quick message from our friends over at Bet Online. BetOnline.net is your number one source for all of your betting stats and sports info. Find all the latest sports developments, league reviews, and news, including this year's basketball playoffs and the start of Major League Baseball season. BetOnline is your continued source for all of your sports wagering information from live betting, playoffs, esports, the NBA draft, and more. And speaking of the NBA draft, right now you can check out the odds for who goes number one overall in this year's NBA draft over at BetOnline. Jabari Smith Jr. right now minus 125, the favorite to be taken number one overall in this year's NBA draft. Chet Holmgren at plus 215, and then Paolo Banchero at plus 325. With BetOnline, you can head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends in action available to you. BetOnline, it's where the game starts. And continuing on here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast, home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. As always, appreciate you for making Locked On Rockets your first listen each and every day. For your next listen, be sure to check out the Locked On Now podcast, nightly recaps of every NBA game with analysis from our local experts, free and available wherever you get your podcasts. Now, as we're keeping this conversation kind of focused on these top prospects that are, you know, conceivably going to be in line for the Houston Rockets down, you know, unless they just completely bottom out and like fall to number five, which would be absolute disaster case scenario for the Rockets after notching the worst record in the NBA in a second consecutive season. Looking at Paolo Banchero, and I get the appeal of him, right? And I think the main takeaway that I have here for a lot of Rockets fans is just, I'm not going to be upset with any of the top four guys. Like, they're all so talented in their own right. And I think that the Rockets would be, you know, lucky to come away with any of the top four guys. But that being said, the Rockets are in this position where they can be a little bit picky maybe and trying to figure out like who makes the most sense, right? Like, if they walk away with the number one overall pick and you're sitting there, all right, which guy do we really want to walk away with? Rafael, do you think that like Paolo Banchero has, I guess, the most star potential of the top four guys? Is that a good way to kind of equate what some of his talent looks like or has looked like to this point?
I think I'm a little bit biased towards him because here's my thing. I feel like if you are physically mature, then people seem to think like, oh, you may not have the same upside. If you're skinny and they say, oh, well, if he gains 20 pounds, he's going to be this. And so I think like for some people, they may look at Paolo and because he's, 6'10", 250, and he looks like he's already NBA ready, people may not think that he has the same upside as Jabari or Chet, who have obviously a ways to go and filling out their frames. So I do think that he has star potential. I do think that I just feel like in order to be a star in today's NBA, if you're going to be a scorer, like I said earlier, you have to be a gifted passer. Because if you can't pass, then all the teams are going to do is send doubles, and then you're not as effective. So, I mean, if you look at, like, the best players in the NBA, whether it's Jokic, whether it's Giannis, whether it's, like, Harden, you can't really double team them because they have the passing instincts of a guard. And that's why I like Paolo.
Okay. Now going back and forth, because I feel like we're going to keep this conversation very hyper-focused on Paolo and Jabari mainly as that's your top guy. That's my top guy.
And you know what? Neither one of us are wrong right now. That's the cool thing about this. We can debate. You're not wrong. And I'm not wrong. We'll find out who's right or wrong. Maybe after the rookie contract expires. But that's why, you know, I love these debates in a sense because, I mean, we don't know. We're just predicting and guessing. And if we knew, I mean, we would take it to the bank. I mean, even the best decision makers in the world, guys that are getting paid six figures plus to draft these guys, don't even know. So that's why these conversations are so fun to me.
And I love Rafael Stone, Rockets general manager, whose name is apparently, at least in your eyes, pronounced incorrectly.
He's missing a syllable.
Rafael Stone's whole mantra is just, and he said this multiple times this season, you don't draft anybody to be rookies. Like, you draft them because you think of what they can become. And so, right, you know, whenever he's asked about to, like, evaluate himself and, like, how he's done so far, like, with this most recent draft class, which I think a lot of pundits would say he knocked it out of the park, you know, he's still it's inconclusive because you really need to see how these players are going to pan out over the course of their NBA careers, not just how they did across one 82 game rookie season. But
he's saying that as a guy that has job security, though. I think that's the biggest difference because he's already lowered the expectations by saying, don't judge the Rockets rebuild until like 2029 or 2030 or something like that. Didn't he make that comment? It's like a long ways away.
Yeah.
And so I think that, you know, it's easy for him to say, but let's say you're a guy on a, you know, you have 1 or 2 years left on your deal. You may not have time to wait for someone to develop. You may go ahead and draft the most NBA ready player right now. It may not be the best thing for the team, but it may be the best decision for you and your family because you want to get that contract extension, which is worth millions of dollars. So I think for him, he has the security to where if it's a 2 or 3 year process, then he can wait it out. Well, I don't know if every other GM has that same type of luxury.
That's fair. No, and that's fair. The NBA landscape is constantly changing, and sometimes you find yourself on the hot seat. And thankfully, Rafael Stone is not, which is why the Rockets feel like they're approaching this rebuild with the right lens, the right frame, you know, the right mindset about, you know, taking time to do things the right way, not trying to rush things together and just try to make it back to the playoffs as quickly as possible. But when we look at these two guys, when we look at, let's kind of shift the frame or shift the lens back to Jabari here for a second. When I see him, I think of, again, and maybe this is putting too much pressure on him. Maybe this is, you know, too high of a ceiling to potentially meet. But I look at a guy who is able to impact the game with the way that his, like, again, I've called it hyper shooting, right? Like, he shoots the ball so incredibly well. It feels like a bit Klay Thompson-esque, or even to an extent, maybe, you know, again, Chris Middleton was like the first comp that I kind of came up with. And when you look at those guys and the way that they're able to impact the game, you could airdrop those guys on any of the 30 teams in the NBA, and they're going to raise the ceiling of that team, make that team better, because they don't necessarily have to have the ball in their hands to impact the game offensively. And I think that's where my drawback is with Paolo Banchero, is he strikes me as a guy that if he doesn't have the ball in his hands, he's still going to find ways to impact the game offensively, but he's best with the ball in his hands, if that makes sense.
Well, I mean, if I'm taking a guy number one, I'm putting the ball in his hands. And I think Klay Thompson is an elite complementary player. So, I mean, you can respect this. This is a Rockets podcast. People used to debate all the time, who's better, Klay Thompson or James Harden? And I would be like, James Harden? To me, no doubt, because I know James Harden is a playmaker. He can score 30 if you need him to. He can dish out 10 assists, and he is the focal point of the defense. While I felt like Klay is best suited as someone that is a high, like, elite complementary player. Same with Middleton. Those are two guys that are being fed the ball by another star. And so that's why I feel like if I'm going number one, I'm taking the guy that I feel like I can put the ball in his hands and have him create for others and score, as opposed to the guy that I feel like someone is always going to have to generate most of the looks for him. Now, I mean, Middleton, I think, is better at creating his own shot than Klay. And maybe it's just the role, but based off what we've seen. So that's just kind of like how I think the difference is between the two.
And that's the crazy thing to me, is I find myself battling with my own, like, you know, philosophy towards the draft, which is you take the best player available. You take the guy that you think is the best player available, regardless of fit, regardless of whatever. But I keep coming away thinking, if the Rockets, and I think with what Jalen Green flashed at the tail end of the Rockets season, and just really throughout the season, right? He, I mean, a lot of people try to equate it to, oh, he had a great, like, he, you know, really emerged post All-Star break. Realistically, he had a rough start to the season, and then he had a really, really impressive 49 game stretch with, on good efficiency, 56% true shooting, 18.5 points a game. Like, he arrived in that final 49 games. It wasn't a bad, you know, 2/3 of a season. It wasn't, he picked it up post All-Star break. He had a really strong season. And especially the way he closed things out with the insane stretch, all the 30-point games, all of that, I think it really opened a lot of people's eyes to just, like, this is the guy. Like, I don't think there's any question about it. Like, he can be your number one moving forward on a championship-caliber team. The Rockets don't have to find that other number one guy. And so that's where I start pushing back on my own philosophy a little bit of, well, what would be complimentary to a guy that they already have that they're going to put the ball in the hands of and let him make the decisions with the game on the line? You give him a hyper shooter, somebody that can play defense at an elite level with some size on the wing. That's a really enticing proposition, which is why I still keep coming back to Jabari Smith Jr. as my number one.
Yeah, so this is why I like Paolo to the Rockets. I'm envisioning a situation where it's a Green Banchero pick and roll. But if Banchero gets the ball in the middle of the court, he can kick the ball out to the corner to, you know, whoever your 3-and-D complementary specialist is going to be. He can score. He can play like, remember, like the Draymond Green role, where when Green got the ball in the middle of the floor, he was able to kick it out to Klay, or he was able to throw the lob to Bogut or whoever it was. And I think, like, Banchero could be that type of weapon where you can give him the ball late in the shot clock and tell him to go get us a bucket. But also when he's on the court with Green, you can just create so many different mismatches, because Banchero can get the rebound, bring the ball up court, and then it can turn into like a Jalen Green dribble handoff, pick and roll, the defense collapse, and he makes that skip pass to this wide open shooters. I just see a creative coach just being able to find totally different ways. And then I think Şengün is going to be like a poor man's Jokic because he's a good passer. I believe in the shooting touch long term. And I think like if you have like multiple ball movers and guys that can just find cutters, then I think it makes your offense more exciting. And I look at Golden State with their offense. And I mean, even though like you don't want to talk about the Warriors on the Rockets podcast because they're like the one team that like, was it twice? Was it two times?
Yeah, you ain't got to rub it in, man. Come on.
but they,
it still
like,
stings. It's still fresh.
Well, I look at it like this. Even though the Rockets played them so close and they had the year they went to game seven, Golden State had more talent, no doubt. But they just had so many different guys that could pass the ball. And I felt like with Houston, if you gave the ball to PJ, he wasn't passing the ball. If you gave the ball to Gerald Green, he definitely wasn't passing the ball. If you gave the ball to Capella, he wasn't passing. And so all the ball handling duties were on Harden and Chris Paul. And so I think like with the Warriors, they just had so many different guys that could make plays. And I like that, having multiple ball handlers on the floor. I think the more ball handlers you have on the floor, the more it is difficult for the defense to stop you. And so that's why I keep going back towards Banchero, because I do think the shooting will come along. I want to say he shot like 50-something percent from three in the NCAA tournament. No, it's not a large sample size. He's not the same shooter as Jabari. But if the shooting is probably the easiest thing to fix. If he ends up being like and 36-37% shooter from three, now you got a guy that you have to respect that can attack closeouts, that can make plays for others. I just think he's a weapon.
You brought up a really interesting point there that I want to follow up on, and that's the potential, you know, of Paolo Banchero playing alongside Alperen Şengün, who was one of the other, you know, upstart rookies for the Rockets this past season. We're going to talk about that coming up in just a quick moment after a message from our friends over at Built Bar. When it comes to protein bars, you've got to check out Built Bar. They're actually so amazing. I mean, first off, every single bar is coated in 100% delicious chocolate. They're not gritty or chalky. Like, the consistency is never off like some of the other protein bars on the market. They don't like, and as far as like the flavors go, they've actually got a ton of different flavors to choose from. It's not limited. You got so many different great options. You got raspberry, strawberry, mint brownie, peanut butter, coconut brownie chunk, salted caramel, cookies and cream. I just go on and on and on. They constantly have like, you know, specialty flavors that they're rolling out, trying new things. So it never gets stale. You're never like trying to figure out, oh, it's the same thing over and over. No, they're constantly trying new stuff, trying to, you know, one up themselves. Honestly, every single bar is low cal, low sugar, high protein, high fiber. Amazing. If you're on a keto diet, amazing. If you're trying to cut back a little bit, lose a little bit of weight, you can check them out. Just go to built.com and use promo code LOCK15 to get 15% off your very next order of the best tasting protein bars on the market. Again, that's promo code LOCK15 for 15% off at built.com. And continuing on here for your final segment at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast, home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. As always, appreciate you for making Locked On Rockets your first listen each and every day. For your second listen, be sure to check out the Locked On NBA podcast. From the first jump of the play-in tournament to the last possession of the finals, Locked On experts take you deep inside the playoffs with insight and analysis affecting all 30 teams. I host the Monday show, always a ton of fun, 3 interviews from around the league. Be sure to check it out wherever you get your podcasts. Now, as we're still focused on this conversation here, you brought up a really good point, Rafael, about Alperen Şengün and Paolo Banchero kind of playing off of each other as like dynamic offensive players. And I don't disagree with that one bit. I think that the offensive side of the ball would look really, really incredibly great if you had Kevin Porter Jr., Jalen Green, pick your poison at number three. We'll say KJ Martin because I think he should be starting. Paolo Banchero and Alperen Şengün. That is an incredibly dynamic group of guys, athletes. You can get out and run in transition, guys who can create for one another. Be a ton of fun. I worry about the long-term defensive fit of whoever gets placed next to Alperen Şengün if he is the starting center of this Houston Rockets team for the foreseeable future. And obviously that question is still very much up in the air. What happens with Christian Wood? Do they hold on to him? Do they move on from him this offseason? All of that. But I do worry about the defensive deficiencies of Paolo Banchero. And that's another kind of feather in the cap for Jabari. I think he is an outstanding defender. And when you look at the ways that a player can impact the game, right? Shooting, playmaking, defense, rebounding, and like on-ball shot creation. Of those five categories, I think Jabari already does three of those things at a very elite level, and that's the shooting, the defense, and the rebounding. And Banchero, I think you still look at some of the categories, he does those at an elite level as well. But I just think that the defensive side gives me a bit of a pause for concern. Maybe I'm overblowing that a little bit.
You know, when I look at concerns for Banchero, it's like, all right, he averaged like 0.9 blocks per game and a steal per game. And I can't think of the last time where a guy has those type of stocks, but everyone questions, can he play defense? It's not like he didn't get steals. I think some of it is effort on his own end. And, you know, I mean, sometimes like if you have just a really, really gifted offensive player, then they tend to slack on the defensive end. And I think some of it is where coaching can come in. If you can put together a good scheme around him. I don't think he's necessarily a bad defender, but I also think that Jabari, I mean, I guess you can say Paolo too, but I felt like Jabari had the luxury of playing with the best rim protector in college basketball. And so while on one hand, I think that because Jabari played with, and I should know this, I want to call him Kessler Walker, but it's Walker Kessler.
Walker Kessler, there you go. Yeah.
Every time I think I got it right, and right when I'm ready to say his name, I'm like, am I sure? But anyway, I mean, he had the luxury of playing with the best rim protector in college basketball. Now, the downside was that Jabari had terrible guard play. So maybe he didn't have on the offensive end as far as guard play, he made up for it with a great rim protector there. But yeah, I mean, I get the concerns about fit, but I mean, who can guard each other in the NBA anyway? You know, I don't think that Banchero is going to get played off the floor. And I also think even with Şengün, I think if a team tries to like play him off the floor in the playoffs, I think he can somewhat make up for it because he can punish you if you switch. So if you, you know, switch everything and now you got a guard on him and you can give him the ball and he's going to punish whoever that guard is. So I think offensively they can kind of make up for it.
You know, and this is the really weird thing about this draft, because, and correct me if I'm wrong here, but the draft, and especially if you walk away number one overall pick, it should be about trying to hit like the biggest home run possible, right? You want a guy that's going to be a franchise altering talent, future superstar, all of the above. If that's the case, then shouldn't Chet be like the consensus number one guy? Because if he pans out, which I think there's a, like, it's like a giant, like 148 point font, bold if. Right. If the body fills out, if he pans out to his ceiling, then he's going to be the best player from this draft. But I think those are one of the things that you have to consider when you're weighing those options across those top guys like Chet, Paolo, Jabari, about who has the, you know, who has the floor, who has the ceiling, where are these guys at right now? Where do you conceivably kind of mock them to be, you know, 2, 3, 5 years from now? And that's kind of where I'm torn, because if I'm looking at Jabari and I'm like, okay, if I see his floor right now and what he provides to an NBA team right now, right out of the gate, that's still like a starting caliber player on a team that's vying for a championship, period. I think that Paolo has a chance to maybe, like, if he doesn't translate, right? Like, if he doesn't necessarily, if he's not like efficient as a number one option, if putting the ball in his hands doesn't lead to efficient offense, then what else is he giving you? You know, and I guess I'm still coming away with concerns about his game and being the guy at the NBA level, I guess.
You know what? If you go back to 17, some of the same stuff was said about Jason Tatum. That's why Lonzo Ball was taken ahead of him and Markel Fultz. They thought, oh, he's a tough shot taker. And does his style of play translate? Because he likes to shoot contested mid-range pull-ups. He's an ISO guy. I mean, Tatum was a top 10 player this year. And so I wonder, is it a little bit overthinking there? Because I was never like a big Lonzo Ball guy. And there's no way, even then, even now, you could tell me that Lonzo Ball should have been taken ahead of Jason Tatum. But somehow the media, and I mean, I think his dad played a huge role in it. And I mean, he was in LA, played for UCLA and Magic and all that. But somehow the media convinced people that Lonzo Ball was better than Jason Tatum. And I mean, I don't think he's even better than De'Aaron Fox. And so I think the media does have a role in sometimes influencing guys, because they can, if the media gets behind it, then everyone can just fall in love with whatever the guy does. Now, as far as Chet, here's my comparison. I'm going to compare him to a former Houston Rocket, Marcus Camby. Marcus Camby with the jump shot. Marcus was, I mean, he was a good NBA player. Played a long time, was skinny, blocked shots, protected the rim, had some skills. But because he was so thin, I mean, what good is your guard skills if as soon as you're dribbling by a guy, you can't get to the rim because you can't take a bump and you can't drive straight. And Marcus Camby, if you remember, he was really skilled. Like, he used to outplay Tim Duncan in college. But once he got to the NBA, he was just not strong enough to post up or get post touches. So he kind of had to make a name for himself as like this rim protector, this shot blocker that was an excellent rebounder that, you know, when he played for Houston, he used to knock down elbow jumpers. I think Chet might be Marcus Camby with more range. I don't think Chet is a guy that you can just say, hey, go get me a bucket. And even if you watch his games this year, he played his best basketball in conference play, which the West Coast Conference is a good conference, but it's not a Power 5 conference. And the majority of his points came when he got the rebound and he dribbled up and shot like threes at the top of the key, or he was like the trailer in transition. And then he did have some like dump offs, because I mean, he played with a good point guard that created. And Chet is tough. I will give him that. Like, he's not soft by any means. And my concern isn't necessarily his frame, even though when I did my research, I didn't find anybody that was 7 foot, 195. Even like Durant, I mean, we remember how skinny Durant was. I think Durant was still listed at like 215. You know, like,
that's crazy.
Even Garnett was, I think, listed at like 220. So you're like, okay, these guys who we say have similar builds were still 20 pounds heavier. And Chet is 19. Like, it's not like he's 17 or 18. Not saying like 19 is old, but he was, at least in my opinion, somewhat of an older freshman in a sense. So I think he's going to have a long career. I just don't know how it translates in a sense, but I think he's going to be like a Marcus Camby with a jump shot. I think he's going to lead the league in blocks one day. He may lead the league in rebounds, but I just don't know offensively, like, how he gets his points in the NBA.
Man, you know, I feel kind of bad because we didn't talk one second about Jaden Ivey here in today's podcast, because we kept the conversation so heavily focused there on Paolo and on Jabari, and then obviously Chet kind of popped up at the tail end. That's maybe an oversight on my behalf, but we'll have to amend that in a future episode for
anytime.
Sure. As we're winding this down, we got it. You know, it's tradition now. We got Tankathon. It is a staple of the, you know, we'll call it the draft community. There we go. I was going to say of the losing community of the NBA teams that sucked, you know, this season and were like bottom five, but that felt a little bit more harsh. And I said it anyway. So here we go. We need to do a Tankathon sim. And I love being able to do these sims with an actual draft expert like yourself, because then it makes it all the more fun for you to actually pick the, you know, the spots ahead of the Rockets. So with that, we actually come away with a pretty decent spin here. OKC takes the top spot. They jump up three spots to number one. Houston falls to number two. We got San Antonio jumping up six spots to number three. Portland at number four, and Orlando down at number five. So if you'll do us the honors and walk us down the list of who you would take at each of these spots.
Okay. At number one, if you are the Oklahoma City Thunder, I guess you go with Jabari. Even though I think Chet seems like he's more of a Sam Presti guy. But then again, I don't know. Sam Presti seems to like foreign guys. I think there's like 11 guys on their roster this year that don't have American passports. I would imagine they would probably go with Jabari. The Thunder would probably go with Jabari. At number two, I'd say if it's Houston, then it goes back to my guy, Bancaro, who I want there in the first place.
Okay.
San Antonio at number three, then yes, you would go with Chet. Who's number four?
Portland and Orlando round out the top five.
Portland at number four. Here you go, Jaden Ivey. You go with Jaden Ivey. Gives you some insurance just in case Dame wants to leave. Or, I mean, I doubt it. But, I mean, it, I think you have a – I mean, you have a – I mean, you upgrade the athleticism with Portland there with Dame. And now you have a good three-guard rotation of Ant Simons, Dame, and Jaden Ivey. And number five, it's Orlando. Oh, my gosh. Oh, man. Whatever player, I'm just – look, we're not working out for Orlando. They have no defined pecking order. Like the, you said about Houston, you know who the guy is going forward, right? In Oklahoma City, you know the guy is Gilgeous Alexander. But in Orlando, I think if you ask five guys on the team who is the guy going forward, you get five different answers. And no matter who they select, there's going to be some redundancy. So if you bring in A.J. Griffin, now he's got a backcourt of Jalen Suggs, R.J. Hampton, Markelle Fultz. You bring in Keegan Murray. Now you got Franz Wagner. You got Wendell Carter. You got Jonathan Isaac, who hasn't played since the bubble. Like,
the Orlando needs the number one pick in the worst way because they need one of the top guys. Like, they need a chance at a guy to be the guy. Like,
even then, like, he may go there and somebody else on the team may feel like, no, you're my. You know, you're the secondary. I'm the guy. I mean, think about it like this. The last time Jonathan Isaac played basketball, Russell Westbrook was a Houston Rocket.
Oh, don't take me back. That was a dark season. We don't talk about that. I'd rather go back and talk about the back-to-back L's to the Warriors in the playoffs than talk about Russell Westbrook as a Houston Rocket. That's how bad that season was. But it was an absolute pleasure to have you on the show here, Raphael. You are a wealth of knowledge, and I can't wait to look forward to doing more of these as we approach the NBA draft, as we get closer to the lottery, all that stuff. I know you're a busy guy, but I appreciate it whenever you're able to make time to jump on the show. Let our listeners know where they can track you down at.
Well, first of all, thanks for having me on, and I need to have you on as a guest because I'm looking forward to, for the teams in the lottery, having the locked on guys that know the team that can address the team needs. Like, nobody knows more about what the team needs and the team's biggest weaknesses than the guys at Locked On. So I'm going to put you in the hot seat, and you're going to be the GM of the Rockets. And I mean, if you want to be, I mean, if you decline, I understand. But yeah, I would like to see like how you would, you know, which player you would select based off of the team need. So yeah, I mean, I'm looking forward to doing that. But yeah, anytime you want me on, man, just let me know. I'm just a text away. But the audience can reach me at Barlow500. That is my Twitter handle, BARLOWE500. I am now taking over for Chad Ford at NBA Big Board. So I mean, there is some free content, but it is behind a paywall. $7 a month. And or you can pay $50 for the year. But yeah, I mean, I have content at least 3 days out of the week. I've started like doing some exclusive draft content videos where I'm going to like some of the pre-draft workouts and sitting down with some of the players and getting some interviews there. So it'll be a little bit different than some of the draft content that you've seen before. And then I have the NBA Big Board podcast, which is now 5 days a week, which is kind of tough talking about 5 days a week, but I mean, this is what I signed up for. This is what I enjoy doing. And yeah, I mean, you can listen to me at the NBA Big Board podcast on Locked On.
Definitely be sure to catch Raphael in all of those different outlets. I've been subscribed to to Chad Ford's, you know, Big Board for probably over a year now. And it's always been phenomenal content from Chad. I expect that to stay the same with you because you are one of the best draft experts on the scene. But as always, a pleasure to have you on the show.
Anytime, man. Anytime. Just let me know you want me on and I'll make it happen.
That's going to do it for today's episode. Are you swayed at all between Paolo Banchero and Jabari Smith Jr.? Are you still in the same camp? Are you now Banchero bus or are you still in the Jabari jungle? Let me know in the YouTube comments. If you haven't done so yet, please consider subscribing wherever you listen to your podcast, Apple, Spotify, Google, the Odyssey app. Check it out wherever you get your podcasts. Also, like I said, check us out on YouTube. Go to YouTube, search Locked On Rockets, like, comment, subscribe. Which draft, if the Rockets came away with the number one overall pick, are you still going Jabari? Are you going Paolo Banchero? Are you going neither of those guys? Are you going like Chet out of nowhere? Let me know in the comments. I do read each and every one of those every single day. But as always, thank you so much for watching. Thank you so much for listening. And we look forward to having you back right here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball.